This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. You can read his work in the paper or online at dailyprogress.com. He joins us every Monday to talk politics and policy issues. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Great to join you again on a hot Monday.
It is a hot and hazy Monday, isn't it?
Yeah. Not as hot as where my daughter Logan is, though. She is right now on the equator in Uganda.
You're
at
kidding.
Lake Victoria, with half her body in the northern hemisphere, half her body in the southern hemisphere, standing there and enjoying just being at the headwaters of the Nile.
That's incredible. How many people are going to come sit down in the studio and say, my daughter is right at this moment, is standing on the equator at the headwaters of the Nile?
She's having a fantastic summer in Africa.
Tell folks what she's doing, because this is really amazing work. She's an undergraduate at Washington and Lee University.
She'll be a senior there next summer, or next fall, when she gets back. And she is helping a cousin build a library and a high school in a small town in Uganda. In Rwanda.
That's incredible. I mean, how many college students do that for their summer? You know, I mean, that's really impressive.
She gets to teach English to people who really, really, really want to learn English. She said that there was a line of 70-some people lined up to try to get into a class that only had 40-some seats in it. And she, for 2 weeks, was the teacher trying to teach them English. And, you know, it's just a fantastic experience. She did that last summer in South Africa.
Wow. Well, I know we've talked about this before, but we'll just let folks know that we want to get her in studio to talk about this work that she's doing in Africa this summer. It really is incredible.
It's exciting. It makes it kind of, you know, Virginia politics, it puts it in some perspective.
Yeah.
It's not quite as eclectic as other things in the world right now.
Right, right. Absolutely. Sometimes we get a little lost in the Republican-Democrat arguments that never cease to exist, and we forget that
now
there's folks out there that don't even have books.
We're good friends on all sides here compared to some parts of the world.
Right. Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Where should we begin? How about your column, your Sunday commentary, which was titled Abusive Fees, Not Drivers? Of course, talking about the abusive driver fees, but you've called them abusive fees.
Well, you mentioned 18 miles per second for the Perseid parts from the meteor shower that are coming down soon. That's about as fast as Virginia's lawmakers are running away from their votes on abusive driver
fees.
They
really are, aren't they?
Because they're hearing from Virginians who are just mad. They're mad that these things only apply to Virginia drivers. That's the biggest thing. And that was done with an amendment by the governor. So there's a Democratic side to this. And it was done with the insistence of the Republicans in the House that this be passed. And the only way they could pass it was as a fee, because if they passed it as a fine, it would have to go under Virginia's Constitution, the money into the literary fund for schools, and they wanted the money for transportation, so they had to call it a fee. And as a fee, it couldn't be collected. They couldn't figure out how to collect it from drivers of other states. So that's the real rub right there. Then there are the individual parts of the fee law that are also hackling people. And two judges last week, one in Henrico County and then on Friday in the city of Richmond, declared these fees unconstitutional.
On what grounds was it? Because it doesn't apply to out-of-state drivers?
Equal protection. It doesn't apply.
14th Amendment, yeah.
Right. Now, there are four other states, at least, that have this kind of fee, and they have not been ruled unconstitutional for equal protection matters in those states. So, you know, there are people who are defending the fees and saying, eventually, we can get this thing ironed out, and we'll try to apply it to, when they go back in session in January, I'm sure they're going to try to apply it to all drivers in all states.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not that they can collect it from all drivers in all states. That may be more fiction than fact. And then there'll be a lot of legislators who've just turned around on the fees and decide that it's time to abolish them, because that's what they're hearing from their constituents. And some have quite publicly and quite quickly turned around on the fees.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress is my guest. If you got a comment about these fees, 977-1070 is the phone number. And the lines are open. For folks who are just joining us, Bob, remind us now what this is, these fees, which is basically, they call them fees, but it's a tax on a traffic fine. It's extra money you have to pay traffic fine.
It's over and above the fine that you get when you go to court, when you're pulled over for speeding. If you're pulled over for egregious speeding, 20 miles over the speed limit, or reckless driving, you know, speeding 80 miles an hour, above 80 miles an hour, as often happens on Virginia's interstates. And I was coming back into Charlottesville on Saturday from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, And there were more police officers on 29 South pulling people left and right as fast as they could between the Nelson County line and North Garden.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Ka-ching, ka-ching. And they were doing it again yesterday. So, you know, this kind of enforcement, 80 miles an hour is not that uncommon. 81 miles an hour they can get you for reckless driving is $350 a year for three straight years under these abusive
driver
fees.
So it's over $1,000 extra on top of the speeding ticket.
On top of the speeding ticket, which is not cheap. And, of course, that hurts your insurance, which is not cheap. But this is an extra thing on top of all that.
And this whole thing, Bob Gibson of The Progress, the whole thing is it supposed to raise about, what, $60 million
$3
billion.
It's a small part of their transportation revenue package that they agreed upon as a compromise this year. A very small part. $65 million is the estimated first year take from this. You know, they really have dropped it down. When they proposed it, the House sponsors of this legislation thought that it would bring in $120 or more million a year. And there's still some parts of this. After 3 years, it may, if these things stand up in court, if they stand up in the legislature, and there's no guarantee that they will in either place, you know, they may bring in $100, $120 million a year after several years.
And what we're going to see, you think, in January are the delegates and the senators coming back, the newly elected or reelected ones after the election in November, coming back and sort of tweaking it to make it apply to out-of-state drivers so that... then they could say, well, it's not unconstitutional anymore. It applies to everybody now. And yet, like you point out, how in the world are you going to enforce that? Because it would just go to a collection agency, right?
I don't know how they would collect them from drivers in Montana. I mean,
because you can't take their driver's license away.
No, there is the enforcement mechanism for that has yet to be determined. So everyone agrees that if these fees stand, and there's no assurance that they will stand, they may just completely be abolished because it may not be worth the hassle. But if they stand, they will try to apply them in-state and out-of-state because that's just the most egregious thing that most Virginians are most upset about, that they only apply to Virginia drivers.
Yeah, you could have two drivers going down 29, both speeding at going 85 miles an hour, and only one of which, a Virginia resident, would get this extra tax.
Right. But as Cree Deeds, a senator from Bath County who voted for them in the final compromise but opposed them up until that moment, said this was the price we had to pay to get a compromise. The House Republican caucus insisted no gas tax increase, even though 2 cents on the gas tax would bring in more money than these fees, just 2 cents. You know, they insisted no gas tax increase, no general tax increase. You know, it's funny because part of the package they passed was a 2% gas tax increase, but only for the 11 localities that are participating in Hampton Roads. So they did have a gas tax increase as part of the package, but you'll only pay it once you go to Williamsburg, James City County, or farther southeast.
So they're clearly not outright opposed to a gas tax. They just don't want to see something statewide because they have built their careers on telling their constituents, I will not raise taxes.
A lot of them have signed Grover Norquist's pledge of, I will not raise a general tax. I will not vote for a general tax increase. Or you can spank me and throw me out of office if I do. So a lot of them are in the box that they can't publicly support something that is called a tax increase. So they build these, you know, these Rube Goldberg devices of fee increases, massive fee increases in some cases. If, you know, $1,050 can be rather substantial for driving the speed of traffic if everybody's going 81 miles an hour on the interstate.
Yeah, which often who doesn't see that?
Well, you know, at times that does happen and they just can't ticket everybody. So it's selective. You wonder if the Virginia state troopers are going to be out there or the other enforcers are going to be out there ticketing Virginia drivers more because they know they can get the extra 1,000 plus out of them.
What's the significance of the court rulings, too, last week that found this legislation unconstitutional? Lower courts, but still politically very significant.
General
right?
district courts. So they're not courts of record, and these rulings only apply in those jurisdictions, Henrico County and Richmond. So if you're speeding or driving drunk in Henrico or Richmond, I don't think for the next several weeks at least, I don't think they can tag on these fees on top of this. Normal traffic fines and, of course, heavy penalties that you're going to pay.
And if you get
offenses.
Them here, you would be encouraged to take it to court because chances are they're going to rule it unconstitutional,
well, that's
at least for the interim.
The
here.
Practical impact of this is that there are going to be challenges everywhere. And, you know, John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute has promised a challenge. I think he will be joining challenges. There will be all sorts of challenges to this law across Virginia, and eventually it's going to have to go up to a higher court. where they'll either be upheld or struck down. They're certainly going to be modified in January if they aren't done away with. The way they're talking about modifying them, in addition to making them, at least in fiction, apply out of state, is that they're going to get rid of some of the smaller misdemeanor offenses that are included, because people didn't realize until they saw all the offenses included that, you know, a misdemeanor, a fourth-grade misdemeanor, such as driving with a drink in your hand, can get you $250 a year for 3 years.
Oh, man. Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress is my guest. And to really talk politics very quickly, are we going to see this at the voting booth in November? Do you think, here we are in the beginning of August, we're starting to really get into the fifth gear of campaign season here before November. Are we going to see this in November, you think?
The anger over these fees isn't going away. And the news over these fees isn't going away, especially with all the legal challenges.
And here we are talking about it.
And you know, as I was saying, 18 miles per second is about the speed that some of these legislators are turning around and running away from their votes. 114 legislators voted for this when it passed, and yet you can't find half that many who will defend it now.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Also in your Sunday commentary, you referenced, to turn our eye to a little local politics, you referenced something quite interesting that I didn't know anything about. And explain this to us. It involves Supervisor David Wyant.
Yes, David Wyant is the supervisor in Albemarle from the Whitehall District in the western part of the county, northwestern part. And he apparently brought a letter to an Earliesville woman who signed it, and he took it to the Daily Progress, somehow delivered it. And we call all the signers of letters to the editor and ask them, is this your letter? Did you sign it? Is it your letter? And she said, well, I signed it, yes, but I didn't write it. And we said, oh, we can't run it then. So it was given to a reporter who called Supervisor David Wyant from the Whitehall District. And he said, no, I didn't write it. Of course I gave it to her to sign, but I don't see anything wrong with, if she agrees with what's in the letter, I don't see anything wrong generally with people signing a letter that they agree with and then submitting it as their own.
Which is a common tactic for political campaigns groups.
In past years, it's done by a number of campaigns. So it isn't all that unusual. It just violates what is the newspaper's policy, which is, you know, if you see a letter to the editor, it's the person who wrote it and signed it whose name appears under it, and we check that.
Yeah, yeah. We ought to have like we need an asterisk for Barry Bonds if he beats Hank Aaron. We ought to have an asterisk for in the letters to the editor, asterisk, I did not actually write this letter. I was given this letter to sign my name to by so-and-so.
Well, it's interesting. It happens often enough that you wonder what the ethics of it are, but the ethics of it are clear enough that, you know, the newspaper isn't going to run this as someone else's letter signed by someone else. And yeah. David Wyant said he didn't know who wrote the letter. The woman thought that Dave Wyant, her friend, had written the letter. And the letter praised Dave Wyant for his action in forcing and in advocating for a temporary bridge and a response to the bridge that was out.
So he's handing letters to the editor out that say he's done really well out to people saying, hey, sign this and send it into your local paper.
Yeah, the editor was basically saying to the rest of the county officials, as they finally did last week, let's get on the ball and do something about this bridge. We have a safety problem out here in Earliesville.
Yeah.
So, you know, the woman doesn't really object to the import of the letter, but she acknowledged that, no, she didn't write it. She just signed it. It was given to her, and, you know, we can't run that.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. And very quickly, let's go to line one. Betty, real quick, go right ahead.
Hi. I wanted to just get back to the driver fees.
Yes, go ahead.
Just quickly, I think the voters need to remember that the real issue here is transportation funding for the state of Virginia, and that there was no way, I mean, they just did a terrible job of coming up with transportation money. And if we look at what's happened to that bridge in Minnesota, I think people need to really consider that even though Virginia has not a terrible record compared to other states, the other states' records are so bad that it doesn't make us look good. And that we've got to fund transportation or we're going to have a huge bridge issue right here in our state.
Betty, as you know, the state of Virginia did a study several years ago, and it found that the maintenance and other requirements of roads in Virginia would require $4 to $5 billion a year in expenditures, and this doesn't get there. This is more of a patch and perhaps a political patch than a solving of the transportation problem.
Bob Gibson writes for the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.